National Radio Club.
Howdy, Xers. Welcome to Market Scope for December 2012. Mark Marino recently ventured to Topeka, Kansas, and recorded Topeka's major AMs and FMs for us. Surprisingly, Topeka has only three AMs. For reception quality reasons, we present little more than a local ID.
All of that coming up on CraigandJason.com Sports Talk.
This is your home for Kansas Jayhawk football. 580 WIBW, Topeka.
This is 580 WIBW, Topeka. CBS News is straight ahead, followed by more local news at 5:04, 5 o'clock right now.
CBS News, I'm Harley Carr.
There's a bear and a lion out.
There's a bear and a lion out?
Yeah, right up behind us. They're chasing their Terry's horses.
It's the Sunflower Showdown this Saturday morning as KU and K-State get together in Lawrence. Our coverage begins at 9:30 for the Crimson and Blue Show. Kickoff shortly after 11 a.m. Kansas and Kansas State
right here on 580 WIBW.
Jayhawk football on 580 WIBW brought to you by Cascade Dental, by Coldwell Banker Griffith and Blair American Home, and by Silver Lake Bank.
If you're looking for an exciting position with advancement opportunities and a career on the cutting edge of today's technology, Hayden Tower Service wants to hear from you. Hayden Tower Service is a construction company that provides turnkey wireless communications site installations. They specialize in tower systems construction and maintenance. At Hayden Tower, high-quality employees have contributed greatly to their success and excellent reputation in the telecommunications industry. They have multiple positions available as tower technicians and general construction workers, so equipment operation experience is helpful. You must have a high school diploma or GED, willingness to travel, and able to work at heights. Hayden Tower Service offers competitive wages, health insurance, profit sharing, dental coverage, and training in telecommunications. It's time to climb to new heights with Hayden Tower. Visit RadioWorksJobLink.com and click on Hayden Tower. Your better career opportunity is just a click away.
This is CraigandJason.com Sports Talk.
Who do you want to talk to first? The guy in the bumblebee suit or the one with the bone through his hair?
Call now, 272-9429. Or toll free, 800-272-WIBW. AT&T wireless phones, call star 580. Now,
even though there isn't a thought in my head,
here's your host of CraigandJason.com Sports Talk.
It is my right as an American,
Mark Elliott,
to talk and talk and talk.
5:10 on a CraigandJason.com Sports Talk. Jake and Jerry alongside as well. 272-9429-800-272-WIBW. Free call AT&T wireless callers at star 580. Rainy St. Louis getting for game one of the World Series. Temperature's going to be in the 40s. Batting practice has already been canceled because of the weather in St. Louis. The game is expected to go on.
Topeka's talk radio authority. This is the Big Talker. 1440 KMAJ Topeka, a Cumulus station.
From ABC News, I'm Jug Limerick.
We have captured the Gaddafi. Libya is joyous. Libya is celebrating.
Joyous Libyans is the head of the Libyan rebels announced short time ago that longtime Libyan dictator Muammar Gaddafi is dead, has been killed, but still no official confirmation of that from the White House.
You're listening to the Dave Ramsey Show on the Big Talker, 1440 KMAJ.
KMAJ, the Big
from Financial Peace Plaza, it's the Dave Ramsey Show, where debt is dumb, cash is king, and the paid-off home mortgage has taken the place of the BMW as the status symbol of choice. I am Dave Ramsey, your host. You jump in, we'll talk about your life and your money. This hour, we're going to take calls from those of you that are Occupy Wall Street
supporters.
ESPN 1490 KTOP with Mike and Mike in the Morning. The Herd with Colin Cowherd. The Dan Patrick Show. A Cumulus Station.
Sports Radio 1490 KTOP.
ESPN 1490 KTOP, Topeka sports leader.
Pinch hitter Alan Craig's RBI hit last of the sixth, losing skipper Ron Washington.
We got beat. They had an opportunity to push a run across. The pinch hitter got it done. We had opportunities and all we did. Got to give them credit. They beat us. We didn't give that game away tonight.
America's positive alternative.
Air One.
Air One.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Windy and only 54 for our expected high today. Bullseye weather's from Your Eyeglasses for Less. Sunshine through this week. It's still cool tomorrow, but we heat up into the 70s for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Jane Deere girls will hear Shotgun Girl after Trisha Yearwood down 20 in a row country.
The Bull knows it's the little things to make you smile. We'll try and do better than a little. The Have a Nice Day giveaway.
It just makes your day.
From BriggsAuto.com and Jefferson's. 92.9 The Bull.
The Jane Deere girls on 20 in a row country. 92.9 The Bull. George Strait celebrating his 58th number one hit with this one here for this time. 20 in a row country. 92.9 The Bull.
I'm not gonna lay around and whine and moan, 'cause somebody done me wrong.
The Bull.
Music is 20 times better than anywhere else.
20 in a row country.
No, I could not ask for more.
You're home for Big D and Bubba in the Morning. 20 in a row country workdays, 92.9 The Bull, with our bras across the car hanging this week through Friday. You can drive up the Kansas River Bridge in North Lawrence and see all those tribute bras. They're amazing to read the insignia on all this. It's Jared Neiman now.
Today I want to write a tune, started strumming this little groove. One more drinking song.
One more drinking song.
92.9 The Bull.
By 2013, every single person in the world who is online will be on Facebook.
Facebook.com/Bull929. 92.9 The Bull.
Jason Aldean on 20 in a row country. 92.9 The Bull. American Idol winner Scotty McCreery will sing tonight the national anthem before game one of the World Series on Fox. It's 20 in a row country workdays with Thompson Squares. I got you. It's in 4 minutes on 92.9 The Bull.
92.9 The Bull is using your support to show support in the fight against breast cancer. Bras across the call. We're honoring those who are fighting and those we have lost. 92.9 The Bull has your tribute bras hanging across the Kansas River Bridge. Drive over the call this week. Take a moment to see the support in the fight against breast cancer with the bras across the call. From 92.9 92.9 The Bull, 20 in a row country. 92.9 The Bull. Nobody plays more country. Country than 92.9 The Bull.
Hey girl, what's your name? It's so loud in here, I can't hear a thing.
92.9 The Bull. 20 in a row country for your work day.
Doesn't hardly seem like work, does it?
92.9 The Bull.
The Bug in My Margarita song. Alan Jackson's Long Way to Go. 20 in a row country work days now. 92.9 The Bull. Tailgating again on Saturday before the KUK State game. Join us at 11th and Main with 23rd Street Brewery, BriggsAuto.com, and The Bull.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Poker
on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
KMX and Osage City, Topeka, Lawrence.
Homeboy, you're gonna miss one day.
20 in a row country. 92.9 The Bull. 20 in a row country.
And that's the beginning of what Mark wanted to call a peek at Topeka. If the Mayans are cooperative, I'll be back in about 30 days for more Topeka Radio. If you'd like to contribute to a market scope, send your recordings to me, Phil Wayne, at 7545 County Highway 71, Harpster, Ohio, 43323-9364. The membership would be most appreciative. And before I forget, me and my 10 zillion cats wish you all a very wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Now here are the musings from the members.
Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Tommy. One day, he wrote a letter to Santa Claus up in the North Pole and said...
This is Musings of the Members. Members may muse by calling the action line.
Little Tommy's gonna get a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop. Little Tommy's gonna get a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop, a doodly-boop.
This is Rusty Curry in Eugene, Oregon. Thanks especially for the article... about Richard Ohm. I have an Opticon and an old ancient Braille and speak, and I really rely on them quite a lot. I gave in and bought a little portable TV a few months ago, and I also have a portable HD-FM radio, and they both cost about $50. And in my experience, the range for HD-FM is much better than HD-TV. With the FM, I can carry the radio around with the antenna collapsed, and it works just fine. With a TV, the local NBC station won't even come in, won't even scan in, unless I use a good amplified UHF-centered antenna. So because of the range factor, I doubt whether a company like C-Crane will ever come out with a TV radio. Too many of them would come back because people would be disappointed with the range. So it's nice that this guy is willing to serve a niche market with that TV radio. One more thing, if anyone ever has any experience with that Insignia Narrator radio, I'd like to know especially about how good is the AM selectivity, and also if you can hook an external antenna up to it, such as, for instance, a Kiowa Air Corps loop.
Hi there, this is Mike in Aventura, Florida. Well, I love the state of the stations. Okay, here's a little information for you. Rick Shaw was let go in early 1970. What happened was he had so many things going for him. He was on WQAM in the afternoon, plus he did a TV show, and he had a production company. And the station wanted him to give up either one or the other or leave WQAM. They said it was a conflict of interest. Rick Shaw left WQAM. Then he was over at WINZ for a while. He retired from radio for a short time. Then he went over to WAXY-FM, and he left there, and his last job was at Magic 102.7. He recently retired, and he is now working with the Magic Children's Fund. Rick Shaw was one of the most popular disc jockeys on WQAM. Now, in other news, WAXY 790 has an FM at 104.3 in Palm Beach. They are known as The Ticket, and they simulcast sometimes with WAXY, and sometimes they do separate sports programming, but they are a sports station. Nobody knows yet what's happening with 790, The Ticket, WAXY. That's the latest.
This is Tim Hendel, and I have a question from the November AM switch regarding change of city of license. There was a station in Texas, I think it was Tyler, Texas, I think it was on 950 or 930, that requested a change of city of license, yet it was said absolutely no change would be made to their facilities. Why would a station request a change of city of license if they're not moving their facilities, especially when this paperwork costs the station money? I know there are stations located in the suburbs who get their license by pretending to serve the suburbs, and then they want to have their ID as if to serve the big city. But in this case, it went from Tyler, Texas, not a big city in itself, to a smaller place I'd never even heard of. Why would a station do that if they're not actually moving any of their facilities? Please, Fred or Mark or somebody, let us know. It's been a great year for DX Audio Service. I appreciate it, and I wish happy holidays and happy 2013 to everybody.
Yes, Mark Jones in Vicksburg, Mississippi. I want to make a comment about AM noise. And one of the biggest problems on AM these days is all the interference from computers and things like that, that are really more of a problem, I think, now than interference has been. And also power lines and things that have really caused problems on AM. I believe that what the commission should look at doing is something similar to what Canada has done and allow AM stations to migrate to FM instead of continuing to drop in more and more low-power FM stations. Being in the radio business, I think that the commission continuing to allow more and more stations to come on and not give them a level playing field like these non-commercial low powers, it's hard enough to make money in a smaller market with a commercial radio station, much less something that you're not even allowed to run commercials on. I don't understand why the commission wants to hamstring an operator on a station with a low-power station. If you're going to have them, at least give them the owners of them the opportunity to go out and sell advertising and do whatever the big guys can do. And I don't think it's really fair to continue to allow just because you're a small broadcaster, you have to have an inferior facility, which is a lot of times the case. All right. Thank you very much.
Hello, fellow DXers. Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, 710 CJRN in Niagara Falls, Ontario, is certainly on the way to going off the air. They have till the end of this month to do it. They've been running just a dead carrier most, if not all, the time for over the last couple of weeks. Sorry to hear of the death of Jim Durham, who I thought was a great sports announcer. He did basketball for the Chicago Bulls for a long time, up to their first championship in 1991. Then he was doing Dallas Mavericks for a long time. Did a lot of network announcing, too. And he did some baseball on TV for the Chicago White Sox. I've been getting a station in Winnipeg, Manitoba, CBW 990 some nights lately. They've been coming in very well. They are a 50,000-watt station, but they are a considerable distance away.
Hi, DXers. This is Mike Dukin calling from Hayward, Wisconsin. And I would like to start out by wishing most holiday greetings to everybody on the audio service. Editors and people including Fred, Mark, and Dave Elpert, who gives me an occasional shout-out. And I've got some information that I would like to pass along via the Upper Midwest broadcast link. There's going to be a major sports radio shakeup in the Green Bay, Wisconsin market. as one of the newest AM stations to come on the air, WGBW, licensed to Denmark, Wisconsin. They are on 1590, and Denmark is 20 miles south of Green Bay. Right now, the station is currently running and has been running for the past year Cumulus's True Oldies radio format. But as of January 3rd of 2013, they're going to be the full-time ESPN radio outlet. Right now, ESPN is now on WDUZ on 1400 and its FM simulcast. They don't bring ESPN full-time, but WGW will. WDUZ will be going to the new CBS Sports Radio Network, which also inaugurates in January. The other sports radio station in that market is WNFL on 1440. So that's the latest from the Green Bay and Fox Valley market in northeastern Wisconsin. Well, that's all I have, and I hope everybody has a good holiday season. 73s and good DX.
And that is our musings to the members on this edition of the DX Audio Service. And if you'd like to muse, give us a call at area code 419-741-0205, 24 hours a day. That's for EDXN and DX Audio Service members. Remember to keep it brief and to the point so everyone has a chance to speak. And by that, I mean keep it on the topic of radio. Make sure you get your point through in record time. You don't have to recap because people can rewind and listen to the point again. Also, if you're calling multiple times, keep in mind, just to be fair, we have to only use 3 minutes per member per month on the musings. So if you're calling multiple times, you might be wasting a lot of information. So basically just kind of concise the information as best you can and give us a call and make a quick point and jump off. Or just wait till the end of the month. Usually the 15th of the month is really good, and then just call with all your points. Now let's take a look at some questions from the membership, starting off with Tim Hendel. Tim asked about the city of license. Well, Tim, it basically comes down to two aspects, sales and promotion and engineering. Starting with sales and promotion, let's suppose you have a radio station which is licensed to Toledo, Ohio, and it provides a pretty good signal. But let's suppose your radio station also covers Sylvania, Ohio, and does so quite well day and night. In fact, maybe it's a little bit better in Sylvania than it would be, say, all over Toledo, which is a wide landmass. Well, you might want to relicense your station for Sylvania, Ohio, and in doing so, concentrate all your sales on that particular community. Do their high school football and basketball and all their sports, their cover their band and the Christmas concerts, etc. From a sales standpoint, it makes a lot of sense because now you're focused or niched into that particular market while removing yourself from the pack of other radio stations, which are all competing for the same ad dollars in the city of Toledo. So that's a benefit. On the engineering side, let's again use Toledo as an example, and a station called WTTO back in 1967, which was constructed. WEDO 15 was on 1520. And at the time that they were constructing the station, there were other stations that popped up on 1520 in Bryan, Ohio, on the west side, approximately about 80 miles to the west of Toledo. There's the station in Ypsilanti, Michigan on 1520, eventually moved to 990, but back then it was on 1520, and that was about 40 to 50 miles north of Toledo. And then you had Kent and Canton, Ohio, which are about 90 miles to the east. And you had, of course, KB. You had Oklahoma City. And you also had Covington, Kentucky on the first adjacent. So putting a station in Toledo, Ohio was kind of complex. And to get the proper amount of signal over the city of license, which the Federal Communications Commission usually says the geographic point is either your downtown post office or government building, they had to come up with a pattern which basically focused all the energy into the center of Toledo. And because of all these other stations around, the transmitter site had to be fairly close. Now, in doing so, they came up with a rather interesting array. The daytime site was actually about 4 miles north of Toledo into Michigan, and was a six-tower system arranged in kind of a shoebox configuration, and it focused all the signal due south. Then at night, they went to a transmitter site which was about 10 miles south of Toledo in the town of Perrysburg, and it was a six-tower inline system focusing a pattern due north over the downtown area, which kind of looked like an exclamation point. Well, being that close to downtown, you kind of give up the burbs, and that's where all the population was moving to. So, quite frankly, they gave up a lot of signal to the east and west side. And as a kid, I can remember listening to WTTO and hearing KB in the background a lot of nights. Fast forward up to just recently, a religious group bought the station, and they took both those sites off the air. They built a new site approximately 10 more miles further south, relicensed the station to the community of Rossford, Ohio, which is a little town about 8 miles south of Toledo, and they could, of course, produce a city-grade signal over Rossford, but all the extra signal kind of shot over Rossford and to the sides, and now it covers Toledo a lot better. So in that case, engineering tells you that you can cover more people by just simply relicensing the city of license and moving the site to a strategic area. Moving on to Mark Jones' question about noise. Mark, you must be reading my mind, bro, because I've been thinking about this for at least a year or so. It seems that the noise floor has been creeping up steadily on the AM band and to some extent the shortwave band, which impacts amateur radio as well as international broadcast shortwave. But I just noticed it more recently because our good friend Mark Dernberger talked me into buying one of those Perseus software-defined radios. You've heard him do those de-expeditions with them, and I finally slapped down the money on it. Got one, and I just absolutely love this thing. It's a fantastic radio. However, I live here in the city, and I notice that the noise coming off the power lines, which are about 50 to 75 feet from me, do cause a lot of problems. And I hope to do a story on the DX Audio Service in 2013 about noise and kind of give you some examples. But just to give you some idea of what I've encountered, I've noticed that just about all the components we use these days, from plasma TVs to the converter boxes and to recorders and such, a lot of these electronics put out a heck of a lot of noise into the air. I also notice as I drive around town that things such as LED traffic lights, LCD billboards and signs in front of businesses, and even our own power grid is getting extremely noisy. There's a section on North Street here in town, which is next to our medical facilities here, the big hospital. And as you drive past the hospital, the noise off the power lines is so bad that it actually puts a good fair amount of junk into the back of our two local AM stations, which you'd never think would happen, but it does. And when you talk with the power company, they just basically just blow you off. How severe is it, you might ask? Well, you know, the FCC's got rules, Part 15, over unlicensed broadcasting. AM and FM is subject to only 1/10 of a watt of power. They say you could only broadcast up to about 500 feet or so before it's considered illegal. Yet a lot of these noise sources are well over 500 feet. One, in fact, that I encountered on 7 megahertz was over a mile and a half away. and actually put a heterodyne into 7 megahertz. So I just wonder at some point if we're going to have to address this with the Federal Communications Commission and push the idea that noise has to be regulated, because obviously it's out of hand.
Radio looks to cut through AM's static. Since a car radio was put in a dashboard in 1930, there's been an AM radio in every automobile rolling off assembly lines. But in the upcoming model year, a car will be arriving on dealer lots with an FM-only receiver. It's symbolic of the challenges facing AM broadcasters in 2012. The average number of Americans listening to AM radio in any given quarter hour dropped from 3.6 million to 3.4 million. From fall 2011 and spring 2012, according to Arbitron data. At the same time, FM use actually increased from 21 to 21.6 million listeners. Over the course of a week, AM radio does somewhat better. Arbitron says it has a weekly cumulative audience of 66.3 million, reaching 28.2% of listeners in fall 2011. More than anything, the AM band has a demographic problem. The data shows more than three-quarters of its listeners were above 45 years old in the spring 2012 report. Nearly 6 in 10 were 55 and older. A survey released in June found 9% of respondents never listened to AM radio, with many saying they haven't changed from FM in years. That's led many of AM's main attractions to seek greener pastures on FM. The top-billing sports station in the country in 2011 was CBS Radio's Sports Radio 66, WFAN New York, which pulled in $40.5 million. But even that wasn't enough to forestall the inevitable. CEO Dan Mason said finding an FM for the station was a top priority, and last month the company spent $75 million for what's now WFAN-FM. CBS isn't alone. Entercom expanded successful established AM brands in Boston, Buffalo, and Kansas City to the FM dial during the past year. CEO David Field said the moves were made to insulate the company from the long-term erosion of the AM band, and to help attract younger listeners who only listen to FM. The changes cost the company millions of dollars in short-term revenue losses, but he said it was a necessary long-term move. However, another set of demographics is working in AM's favor. A blossoming Latino population has brought a growing number of ears to Spanish-language stations on AM. Entravision CFO Chris Young said at a recent investor conference, the company is not seeing significant erosion in AM audiences like general market radio groups are. If anything, it's flat, and in certain markets it's up because of population gain, Young said. The number of listeners on AM may be declining, but so far revenue trends show AM is holding up fairly well. Certain data shows the top billing stations were evenly split between FM and AM. Most noteworthy is advertisers haven't abandoned AM radio. Both FM and AM stations posted 1% revenue increases last year. AM radio still has some viability. JL Media Senior Vice President, Director of Broadcast Services, Rich Russo says, pointing out it's still a case of advertisers following ratings, regardless of where on the dial the station is. The perception is that AM is a wasteland, but I don't agree. If they're promoting it well enough to make people want to listen to it, then it will have advertisers, Russo says. He predicts AM stations could become cheap enough that some owners take a chance on returning music formats to the AM dial over the next few years. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service.
The U.S. Department of Labor is suing a Casper, Wyoming radio station. The Casper, Wyoming-based Mount Rushmore Broadcasting Corporation is being sued by the U.S. Department of Labor for allegedly violating wage laws. The Wyoming Star Tribune reports that the suit claims workers at Mount Rushmore received less than minimum wage and weren't paid overtime when they worked more than 40 hours a week. The allegations date back to as far as August of 2008. Mount Rushmore President Jan Charles Gray disputed the allegations and, in an email to the newspaper, stated, "The filings are bogus and unfortunate. The accusations themselves are not accurate, coming from disgruntled former employees, some of whom are convicted felons." There are 6 former employees involved in the suit with varying tenure at Mount Rushmore Broadcasting. One worked for the company for as brief of a period as just 2 weeks. Gray tells the paper that even if the allegations were accurate,
exemptions in the Fair Labor Standards Act prevent the rules from applying to his company. This is an unconstitutional act by the Department of Labor to target a small business. Many of us concentrate on the big stations so much that we forget about those little stations. No, not the LPFMs, but the high school broadcasters. The 2012 John Drury High School Radio Awards were held last week at North Central College in Naperville, Illinois. And Lyons Township High School radio station WLTL Radio 88.1 FM was named the best high school radio station. The LaGrange, Illinois school won the honor for the fifth time, having won it in 2002, 2004, 2008, and 2009. The school has produced several students who have gone on to successful careers in media, including Tyler Moody, Vice President of Programming for CNN Radio, Dave Judy, Sports Center Anchor for ESPN Radio Chicago, Alan Ludell, News Anchor and Host at WDEL in Wilmington, Delaware, who, by the way, attended one of our National Radio Club conventions, and Phil LeBeau, a reporter for CNBC News. And speaking of FM and LPFM, the Commission is moving closer to approving 6,000 low-power FM radio stations. That's just one item on the agenda of the Federal Communications Commission November open meeting on the 30th of November. LPFM. The only agenda item to date is the discussion of the final procedures to approve the more than 6,000 pending FM translator radio applications and implementation of the Local Community Radio Act. The Commission's notice stated, quote, "The consideration of these items will represent the final steps toward enabling nonprofit groups nationwide to apply for low-power radio licenses to further expand the diversity of local voices in the media landscape," unquote. The act, signed into law by President Obama in January of 2011, allows new stations on third adjacent channels rather than fourth adjacent channels, which will allow some new facilities to be located in highly populated urban areas. According to RecNet radio site, low-power FM is radio that is within the reach of many community organizations, local artists, churches, ministries, schools, and government organizations. The Federal Communications Commission has created this service to address the concentration of full-power broadcasting by large corporations who have shut out the communities that they serve in favor of national formats. 100-watt LPFM stations have a practical range of about 5 miles around the station and must remain commercial-free. Well, if you're into numbers, we're going to give you a whole bunch of statistics here as it's coming to the end of the year, and we figured we'd give you the totals of broadcast stations plus a little bit more information than you need to know. So if you're one of those number crunchers or money people, you should enjoy this particular segment. In the United States, how many AM stations do you think we have? Well, presently we have 4,745 stations. FM Commercial, 6,580. FM Educational, 3,803. And LPFM stations, 822. Let's talk a little bit about who owns these AM radio stations. By gender, females own 7.8% of the AM radio stations in 2011, and 7% of those stations in 2009. Males own 74.2% of stations in 2011 and 75.5% in 2009. 64 stations, or 1.7%, were jointly owned by male and female operators in both years. Stations with no majority interest by gender accounted for 625 stations, or 16.3%, in 2011, and 607 stations, or 15.9%, in 2009. Going on ethnicity, Hispanic or Latino persons owned 4.5% of the stations in 2011 and 6.4% in 2009. Of the 172 Hispanic-owned stations in 2011, 124 stations were in the top 100 of the Arbitron markets. 17 stations were in the Arbitron Metro market, 101 to 282, and 31 stations were outside the Arbitron Metro market. Non-Hispanic or Latino persons owned 78.9% of stations in 2011 and 78.9% in 2009. Stations with no majority interest by ethnicity accounted for 16.7% in 2011 and 16.5% in 2009. Racial minorities owned 237 AM radio stations, or 6.2%, in 2011 and 5.4% in 2009. Out of the 237 minority-owned stations in 2011, 129 stations were in the top 100 Arbitron markets. 49 stations were in the Arbitron Metro market, 100 to 282, and 59 stations were outside the Arbitron Metro market. American Indians, or Alaska Natives, owned 16 stations, which is only 0.4% in 2011, and 0.2% in 2009. Asians owned 100 stations, or 2.6% in 2011, and 2.5% in 2009. Black or African Americans owned 2.8% in 2011, and 2.3% in 2009. Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islanders owned 0.2% in 2011 and 0.1% in 2009. Persons with two or more races owned 0.2% in both years. Whites owned 77.3% in 2011 and 78.5% in 2009. Stations with no majority interest by race accounted for 16.5% in 2011 and 16.1% in 2009. So there you have it. There's who owns AM radio stations in the United States. And that's it for this edition of the DX Audio Service for December 2012. And it's also the end of an era. This is the last magazine which will be published on cassette. Starting next month, we'll be publishing entirely on CDs. And when I started the magazine back in April of 1985, who would have thunk that cassettes would have got so expensive that we can't afford to buy them for the magazine or ship them to the members? But that's what's happened, and that's why we're going to CDs. I've had a couple comments from people talking about the fact that they don't have a CD player, which I find intriguing, because a lot of folks are audiophiles in addition to liking radio. But now is the time during the Christmas holiday season to be shopping around for a CD player. And here's a hint. I found several players, DVD players, in stores such as Walmart going for as cheap as $29, which will play a CD. So you might want to think about that for your home stereo system, one of these DVD players. Be sure to have somebody check the box to make sure it does play a CD. Well, that's it for this edition. Hopefully the Mayans are wrong, and we'll be back in 2013 with more DX stuff. Remember, get out and support radio. And happy holidays, everyone.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mom.